chapter 8, and we're going to get through, try to get through four verses, good Lord willing, verses 1 through 4. And if you already got the notes, you've seen that the sermon is about the lampstand. I hope I'm not spoiling the surprise too much, but guess what? It's about Jesus. I know you guys are shocked. It really is about Christ this morning. You know, amazing that. Imagine that. You know, and I thought about this week that we're going to talk about Jesus as light of the world. And, you know, one of the things that I think that God has kind of shown me, I told the guys yesterday, I feel like that in this sermon, basically, I'm the Selah, you know, in the psalm. You know, you read those places where you're reading through the psalm and God says, stop and meditate upon this. And you know, and it's so funny. I don't know how many times we just keep on reading. You know, we're just like, okay, we got things to do. You know, we got to get them. You know, we just keep on going. But this morning, I want to stop for just a few minutes and meditate on what does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world. You know, I don't think if I came in here and I asked you, what are the I am statements? You know, you may not know all seven of them, but most of you would come up with Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." Most of us know that. I don't think this is coming as a big lesson to anybody, a big shock. Jesus is the light of the world? You know, like, whoa, where'd that come from? I think most of us already knew that when we came in. But what does that mean to us? How does that affect us? And as David tries to continually and does such a great job bringing it in front of us, how does that look like tomorrow in the world? What does that mean for us tomorrow as we're living this out? That this is, here's this huge statement, Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." So what does that mean? You know, I think so much of it, so many times we've grown up with that. We've lived our lives with that statement that we don't let it just permeate. We don't meditate on that. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to meditate on that statement that Jesus is the world. And we're going to use this text in Numbers as we kind of open this up and walk through this. Because I think this is really kind of the where we start. So, 8, verses 1 through 4. Numbers 8, 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand. And Aaron did so. He set up its lamps in front of the lampstand as the Lord commanded Moses. And this was the workmanship of the lampstand, hammered work of gold from its base to its flowers. It was hammered work according to the pattern the Lord had shown Moses. So he made the lampstand." Now here we are, we're going through Numbers. We're going being in the wilderness and what that means. And last week we talked about God is speaking from the mercy seat. And just what does it mean that where God is, here he is. Talks about that the tabernacle and all the things had been set up. And God had it. And God has spoke from the mercy seat and how important that was, that we need his mercy. We don't deserve to hear from the mercy seat, do we? We really deserve God speaking from the seat of judgment. But instead of judgment and wrath, so God spoke, and last week it was all about where he spoke from, and today it's about the message that he spoke. And what does God say from the mercy seat? Here's his first command he gives from the mercy seat. Tell Aaron to set up the lamps. Aaron, set up the lamps. Turn them on. Light the lamps in the lampstand. Get it set up. And here's the menorah. Everybody knows that picture of the menorah, the seven lamps connected on one stand. And Aaron light them to set them up to show this light in that tabernacle. And the first thing to note about this is that this is not chronological. It's not a story that's kind of taking us through this. You know, God is not just telling us this story. It's for a purpose. It's not chronological. It's theological. This is about God. If you look back in Numbers chapter 7, verse 1, it finds out this has already been set up. Numbers 7, 1. On the day when Moses setting up the tabernacle, anointed and consecrated with all of its furnishing, and had anointed and consecrated the altar and all of its utensils. That was the day the chief priests had come, the chiefs of Israel had come through. And they've been doing this for 12 days. This up for 12 days. This is not this is theological. God is telling Aaron, show the people the light. They're in the wilderness. The wilderness is a dark place. You're going to need the light to walk in the wilderness. I told Carol this earlier. Years ago, I was 14 or 15, and me and a few and my sister and a couple brothers and some others, we went up to Cades Cove, and we walked up to Abrams Falls. And it was late in the evening. You know, we'd been on a picnic, and then we decided we'd walk up to Abrams Falls. And we got up there, and we were fooling around and playing around. Well, the reality was it got darker quicker than we thought it would. And we got ready to start back, and it was dark, absolutely dark. Well, this is before everybody had a cell phone, you know, so you couldn't just pull out your flashlight and you could find your way. So here we are, we're trying to find our way back down from Abrams Falls on the trail in pitch dark. And I will never forget that experience. What was a 30, 40-minute walk up with a three-hour walk back? Because we're sitting there and we're trying to feel the path, you know, as we're walking. We're sitting there trying to make sure, you know, and when you step off, oh, well, we stepped off the path, you know, and we're kind of holding on to each other because you literally couldn't see the person in front of you. And it was so funny. We got back far, but by God, it was so late, they didn't even lock the gates at Cades Cove. So we had to find the rain, open the gates to let us out. Never forget that experience of being up there with no lights, find our way back out. And so here's God. Here the children of Israel, and as God is laying out this book of what it means to be in the wilderness, and he says, Aaron, light the lamps. You need those lights. You know, others that are living in darkness, you need the lights. And Aaron, the high priest, had the responsibility to set up the lampstand, to set up these lights and to turn them on, to give light to the things of God so they could see this. It was the minister, the priest, that set these up. You know, in the tabernacle, there are no windows. When God had them lay out this tabernacle in there, there were no windows. The only light came from that lampstand. And if the people were to see them, were to see the things of God, there had to be a light in the lampstand. Now, one thing about this lampstand is this lampstand was huge. I don't know how you picture that menorah. You know, I grew up picturing the menorah as kind of like a candelabra. You know, that sits on a piano. Everybody seen those? This lampstand weighed about 75 pounds. It wasn't, you know, you don't walk around this thing holding out like this. Look at 25, verse 39. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent. I'm sorry, it shall be made with all these utensils, as God said in Exodus, out of a talent of pure gold. About 75 pounds of gold, this one lampstand, according to the Jewish tradition, it stood about 5 foot tall. So this lampstand stood this tall and was 3.5 foot wide. It's not some little menorah. This is huge. This thing is huge. And you know, this is a time when men were much shorter. It was the height of a man. The average height was around 5'3 to 5'6. It was about the height. It was head high. A huge, huge lampstand, and it was to give light to everything in the tabernacle. If they were to see everything, they had to be seen through the light of the lampstand. It was the only source of light. It's important to recognize the tabernacle wasn't just laid out by happenstance. You know, wasn't like God said, well, just put it in there anywhere, it'll all work. No, all of this, the whole thing was laid out according to the pattern. God said, you know, as you went into there, went into the tabernacle, as you opened it up, then you saw, you had to go by the altar of sacrifice. And then you would walk up, and next thing you'd see the basin to wash in. And then you'd open it up, and there would be the utensils. You would see the incense. You would see the showbread and the table bread. And all of this, and you was lit by this lampstand. You would see the veil where the Holy of Holies. And it was all right there. This lampstand illuminated the whole room. It showed the things of God. You could see this. It revealed all the provisions of God. It revealed the gold. It revealed the preciousness of the utensils. Picture this. Here's this beautiful lampstand with all the workmanship, with the flowers and all that he had done. And it's sitting there in the dark. If the lamps aren't lit, would you ever know it? Would you ever know what it really was? How can you recognize it? But Aaron was to light the lamps, was to set it so you could see it. He had the responsibility so it would be clearly seen. And the reality is, it's our responsibility as well. We have a responsibility to reveal this. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciled the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. This is our ministry. This is what God has given us. Aaron, God told him from the mercy seat, set up the lamps, reveal this. It's our ministry as well. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are to tell others the gospel, the good news. We are to illuminate what Christ has done. And that is the reality, what Christ has done. Moses, who was in the place of God, had already set it up. We find out in Matthew 7:1. But it is God who is sharing the light, but he has commanded us, he's using us to do this. Ultimately, it's his work. This is what he's doing. He's the one who's illuminated. He's the one who's revealing the light. He's just doing it through us. One of my favorite verses, that life verse, 2 Corinthians 4:3-6. And if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving of the... I'm sorry. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, with ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is a work of God, but he has given us the responsibility to share it. Notice Paul is blind out there, so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to say anything to it. No. He said, we are, this is our ministry in light of this. But we know that it is God who speaks. Let light shine out of darkness. Since this is our ministry, it is important to get it right. Was according to the pattern that God had revealed, from the base to its flowers. Perfect. God had said, this is how I want it to look. If we went through through Exodus, God would say, this is like. And they were to set it exactly according to this. It was important to get it right. And the same has to be true for our gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ. It is important that we get it right. And just like the Word of God was the pattern from the lampstand, so was the Word of God that He's revealed the pattern for us. This is the pattern. We must get it right. What's it about Jesus Christ? Are we getting it right? Are we getting the gospel right? Are we worshiping this Christ as revealed in the Scripture? So, how do we get it right? It's so important that God would have us to have. What is He trying to say about Jesus Christ here in Numbers 8? What is it that we have to get right in this? You know, you look back and you open up to Genesis, and please turn back to Genesis chapter 1 with me. And tell us about the light from the very beginning. It's amazing. We find out that the light, first thing that God revealed, all the way back in Genesis 1, starting in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of waters. So here it is, this land is covered in darkness. And God said, 3, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the night from the day, from the darkness. And He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And it was evening in the morning, the first day. The very first thing that God revealed, light. Here in the midst of the darkness, here in the midst of this world, He has revealed light. Second, it's important to note that the light was not made. Keep reading that passage in Genesis. In verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse. He didn't make the light. He made the expanse. Everything else we see comes from that. But the light was not made. It was revealed. Light is a part of who God is. It's a part of God's nature. God is light. In Revelation 21, we know the story where there is no sun and the moon. It is the glory of God that lights everything. Revelation 21, 20, 22 through 25. And I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord, God the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And by its light the nations walk, and the kings of earth will bring their glory into it. And the gates will never be shut by day, for there is no night there. God is light. Now, the physical light we see, we know God made it. But that what this is saying, God didn't make this. That this from the very beginning, two purposes of light in Genesis 1, we find out. The two purposes, Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of heaven to separate the day from night, and let them be for a sign and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and that was evening and morning, the fourth day. One of the purposes for light was to separate the night, or to define the night from the day. This is why God did this. He said, I'm going to create this light so I can separate the night and day, that the one from the other, to define which is it. And the more I look at this story, the more I see this, I'm amazed at how similar to me this is to Isaiah chapter 6. And y'all know the passage, and we'll kind of get into a little bit more next week. Next week, When Isaiah said, I saw the Lord on the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Uzziah died. And here's that picture of God at the mercy seat between the two cherubims. And God speaking from that place. And that's, here's that picture of that throne. And God, as God speaks, it reveals Isaiah's sin. Here he is standing in God's presence. And he sees his sin. He sees his what he is. And he says, Lord, I am undone. And next thing he does is he knows he must be cleaned. And here in Numbers, next thing we get to is the Levites. The cleansing. And it's amazing to see this. But I kind of got lost in that because I'm looking forward to see it. So to me, I'm reading through Numbers. And I'm going to tell you right now. When I first read this part, and I'm reading about the sacrifices, and then I read about God speaking from the mercy seat, and God setting up the lampstand, I'm thinking, oh, where did that come from? You know, how would that fit into all of this? And then it's so neat just for me to see. And so, I guess I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself, and I'm sorry. Because Carol says I get confused when I do that, and she's right. Back to the story. The purpose of the light was to reveal, separate light from darkness. It reveals what light and darkness is. And the second purpose was to rule over the day and the night. The light ruled over both of them. He said in verse 18, to rule over the day and over the night. So when Jesus said, I am the light, look what he's saying. This is who I am. This is what I am. I am the one who separates the dark from the light, the day from the night. I am the one who rules over both of them. Life itself. As God takes that picture and he develops it, he reveals more of that in the New Testament. In John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in darkness. I'm sorry. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome him. Jesus gives life. He is the light, it says. So what does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? Does this mean that all the darkness has been removed? No, of course not. We know that the world's still dark. We know that there's still darkness in it. And I love how Piper puts this. He said, where is the darkness? It's in the world. It's in our heart. So being the light of the world doesn't mean that removing all the darkness of the world as he walks through it or as we walk through it. It is this light. It reveals the darkness. It shows us where the darkness is. You know, if there was never a light, could you imagine, I want you for just a second. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes for a second. Now, what if that had been your entire existence? What if you had never, ever seen a light? And this was normal to you. And this was common. And someone's talked to you in this situation and said, now, imagine a light. What would you imagine? What could you see? How could you picture that if you had never seen a light? The reality of most people's lives. They've lived in this situation where they've lived in the dark their entire life. They've never seen a light. They've never seen a light. But yet, once you ever open your eyes and you see a light, yeah, there might be times you can close your eyes again, but you never forget what the light looks like. And so Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the one who's revealed what darkness is. Now you know what darkness is. Now you know what light is because God himself has revealed it to you. The light has shown the truth of the world around us. It's after we've gone into this, after we went into the tabernacle and we've seen the provisions of God and God's revealed this to us, we look upon the world completely different. You know, before you saw the light, you made no sense. But the light reveals the truth of it. Because you've seen the light, you know the events around you, how they fit into this. Hurricanes, death, disease, struggles. You may not understand completely, but you know that God is over all this. Because only in the light can we truly understand what these things mean. Can we truly understand how they fit into it? Because Jesus being the light of the world means that the world has no other light than Him. He is the only light. If there's going to be a light for the world, it will be Jesus. It's either Jesus or darkness. That's the choices. It is either Jesus or darkness. There is no other way. There's no witness in that tabernacle. There's no other way to see in there the things of God except through Jesus Christ. It is either Jesus or darkness. There's no third alternative. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is it. This is what it means. Jesus is the light of the world, and he is the only light. So it means that everyone needs Jesus as their light. Everyone does. As Piper spoke about Jesus being the light of the world, he spoke of what that means. It means that the world was made for this light. You realize that the world was made for this light? When you look back at Genesis chapter 1, here is God, and God speaks, and there's a world, and then the very next thing he does is he reveals the light. It was made for the light. This is not a foreign light. This is the light of the owner of the world. When this light comes, it not only makes sin plain, but it also makes sin ugly. It reveals the ugliness of sin. It reveals how horrible sin is and the effects of sin. You only see sin as horrible in the light of Christ. That's the only place. Because the world would have you see it as beautiful. But please remember, they still have their eyes closed. When you open it up and you see the ugliness and the plainness, it is only the light that makes sin plain as it's foreign and ugly. But here's the thing, it also makes everything good in the world shine with its full and true beauty. You know, you can look at the Grand Canyon, but if you don't see it as a work of God, if you don't see it as created by God, if you don't see God's hand in it, you don't see the beauty of it. The truth. You don't see it. If it doesn't point, if it doesn't show God in it, you know that lampstand they said was beautiful. It was a marvelous workmanship to behold. But if the lamp's not lit and it's sitting in there in the darkness, doesn't make it less beautiful. It just means you don't see it. You don't recognize its beauty. You don't recognize the workmanship that went into it. This world was made to be illuminated by the light of Christ. It was made to be illuminated by Him. The light of Christ is native. It's a part of this world. This is what it's for. It is to reveal the things of Christ, the things, the provisions of God, what all He's provided. It's made to reveal the showbread, what all God has provided for us. It's made to reveal the altar and the Holy of Holies that stand behind it. And this is how we walk in the wilderness. It's a dark world. You need the light to walk. right now in this world, it's darkness. And we are to go out. I mean, this picture of the shepherd with his lamp. And here he is, that lamp walking in his hand. And it illuminates. Literally, I mean, try that stuff. Go on a dark night. No street lights, nothing. And try to walk with a candle. Not a flashlight, a candle. Just you know, you're not going to run. You can't. You're looking for the path. That's what you're following. God says, this is how you walk through the world with this lamp. It's a dark world. We need the light to show us how to walk. And finally, Jesus being the light of the world gives us hope. Being the light of the world means that one day this world will be filled with light. One day the world will be filled with light. As the light, as God said, as the waters covers the sea, all the darkness, all the works of darkness, all the sons of darkness be cast out. You know, that's why Jesus called that place outer darkness. It's going to be cast out everywhere. The light will be everywhere. In that day, all will be light. Jesus, this radiance of the Father of God, will fill the world. And everything will be beautiful in the light of Christ. This is our hope. We live for this, and this is the gospel. This is what we're sharing with others. We're telling them about a light. We're meeting all these people with their eyes closed. They're living in darkness. They're blinded. And we're telling them there's a light. And it shows the beauty of the world around us. And we're praying for them, and we're telling them, and we're witnessing to them about this wonderful, beautiful light. The gospel is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing. That's their condition. They are perishing. There's no other alternative. And so we're sharing light with them. We're sharing Jesus Christ. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus crucified. And ourselves as bondservants for Christ's sake. And as we're doing this, we're praying, God, speak. God, speak to them. Oh, that's their hope. Their only hope is for God to speak and light shine out of darkness. And once light has shined out of darkness, as it's shown in our hearts, then, and only then, do you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's when you see, man, look at all the beauty in the room. Look at the showbread. Look at the table. Man, look at that lampstand and how beautiful it is. Oh, and there's the veil. There, just there, that's the covenant. That's the place where God speaks. God said, told Aaron, told Moses, tell Aaron, set up the lampstand. Set up the lampstand. Set up the lights. They need to see this. They need to see who it is that separates the light from darkness. They need to see who it is that rules over the day and the night. They need to see who it is that's life. And Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. This is who I am. All of that, it was about me. It was about me. This is how you walk in the wilderness. Right, without a light. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous place to walk in the wilderness without a light. Let's pray. Lord God, truly, Lord, it is a joy to pray for one another and lift up one another's needs. And Lord, we can pray with great confidence when we think of the needs of one another for direction. Lord, we can pray with confidence, with absolute confidence, because because you speak from the mercy seat. You will give directions, Lord, so we pray, let it be. We can speak from absolute confidence, Lord, that you will lead and direct your children, that your voice will speak. So, Lord, we pray, God, let it be. And we stand upon the promises of God. So we pray these prayers with faith, knowing, God, that you're the one who answers it. And, Lord, at the same time, we pray the prayers of hope. Lord, for we know those whose eyes are closed, who for right now, the gospel is veiled. And Lord, I pray that you would make us, help us be faithful to share the gospel with them, to help us be faithful to speak and to proclaim Christ to them. And help us be faithful to call out to you, Lord, speak to their hearts. Lord, pronounce the words, light shine out of darkness. Oh, that would be true. Oh, that would be true, that we would see that in those hearts. Lord, I keep thinking about those men of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, and in their blindness, and they don't recognize they're blind. They grope all night trying to find the door. They don't realize that they're blind. What a picture of the world. Lord, we live in a world that's blind, that's in darkness. And yet, Lord, it's as if they celebrate what they call light with one another. Their enlightenment and what they call their freedom from you. They celebrate that freedom from you. Lord, may we be faithful to tell them, Lord, no, you're not. You're not free. You just don't see. You're blind. You're blind. Dark where you are. And Lord, even this morning, Lord, if there are anyone that we know, or even in this room, who is still in darkness, who have never seen the beauty and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, have never been just caught up in the beauty of that, has just been enraptured by a beautiful Savior who can forgive them in the midst of their sins. Lord, I pray that would be true. That this morning, God, I pray you would speak, light, shine out of darkness. Oh, light, shine out of darkness. May they see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But help us be faithful ambassadors, faithful ministers in this, as we point others and tell them God is light and in him is no darkness. Everything he does is right. We ask that you would be glorified by this in your son's holy, precious name. And in that light, amen. Mark, come and lead us.